So today we begin our series called Polarized. When we started planning for this series, we suspected that an election year would pour gas on an already polarized America. We had no idea, right? And things are still unfolding. But we do know that God has something very specific for us to be and do in the culture, in the communities, in the families that we are in. So how should we think? How should we act? How should we speak in a way that honors God and helps others? So together we're going to take a look at what the Bible says. Conversations happen spontaneously, right? We find ourselves talking to someone about a variety of topics. And the conversation might be short or long, intense or laid back, but it comes to an end, and we both walk away, and I wonder, as a result of our conversation, are we closer to each other or are we farther apart? So our conversations matter, don't they? They matter. Tricia read it for us, Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but I want to read them for us again because they're the foundation for every message that we are sharing through this whole month of August. So 2 Corinthians 5:16, there's a Bible in front of you if you'd like to turn there, or if you have your phone, you could type in 2 Corinthians 5, NIV. NIV is the translation that I'm using. It'll say Bible Gateway, 2 Corinthians 5, and you click on that, and there it is for you. We're going to be down in verse 16. Paul writes, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So what a high and holy calling for all who love and follow Jesus. Let me say it this way. If you love and follow Jesus, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that? You have a ministry of reconciliation. Jesus, the great reconciler, gives you your own ministry of reconciliation. And I wonder what that means for you. Let me make a statement and then clarify what I mean. Even when a conversation is not about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. So let me tell you what the gospel is, right? Gospel is a New Testament word. Whenever there was a change in Roman empires, they would send out messengers throughout the empire with the good news, the gospel, that there's a new emperor. And of course, he's going to be better than the last one. Right? But that's what the good news was. So we have a new leader, a new Lord, a new, in the Greek it's Kyrios. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He's a new leader. And he really is better than whatever previous leader you had because he became one of us. He laid down his life for us so that we could be reconciled to God. And now he wants to be the leader and Lord of our lives. That is the gospel. That's really good news. So even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. As people interact with us, they feel safe or they don't feel safe. They are either drawn to Jesus in us or they are repelled. Let me clarify. Here is what I don't mean. That in any and every conversation with someone, I should talk about Jesus. That's what I'm not saying. Right? I might have 50 conversations with someone before we get around to talking about Jesus, before they feel safe enough with me that we talk about spiritual things. Hijacking conversations to talk about spiritual things can do more harm than good. Isn't that true? It's probably why a friend of mine once told me, completely serious, he said, "I hate those born-againers." I didn't tell him I was one. Why did he say that? Here's what he hated. He hated when people he didn't know very well had really obnoxious conversations with him about Jesus. They tried to pin him down. They tried to convert him. They talked about Jesus in inappropriate, confrontational ways. So here's the funny thing. He became a friend of ours. He was our mailman, our postmaster. So I'd see him like almost every day. And several of our congregants would see him every day. And eventually, after many conversations, I and a couple of other people invited him to church. And he and his wife felt safe enough to come. And so one Sunday, a couple weeks after Easter, he took me aside and said, "I just want you to know on Easter Sunday morning, Betty and I gave our lives to Christ." Yeah. And I did not tell him, "No, you're a born-againer." But he was. And they've since moved out of the area, but continue to serve Christ in their church. And Jesus has changed their lives. Because even when a conversation isn't about the gospel, it's still about the gospel. Building trust takes time and patience. How do we build trust? One grace-filled conversation at a time. Let's turn over in the New Testament to Colossians chapter 4, Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, chapter 4. So Paul here is talking about what our lives should look like once we've been joined with Jesus. And I'm going to start reading in verse 2. Paul helps us figure out how to have grace-filled conversations. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." How to have a grace-filled conversation. How we can partner with the Holy Spirit in this ministry of reconciliation, in your ministry of reconciliation. What should we do? The first thing is this: we should pray. A great place to begin, isn't it? We pray, which is one of the core values of our church. We ask God to open doors to share the good news. We pray that opportunities will come, and when they come, that we might be clear, not saying too much or too little. Pray for opportunities to talk with people. Keep your eyes open. Pray for opportunities to listen to people, to get to know them. At our district conference in June, the head of our global partners, the missions arm of the Wesleyan Church, shared that conversation starter with us. Did you get a card when you came in? Yep. Let me borrow it for just a second. You didn't get one? Our head usher is so good. All I had to do is point to him. We'll get one for, do you have one for Lynn too? All right. He's so good. Isn't he good? Here, I'll take one for Lynn. Did you get one? Here we go. So he shared this with us, and you know, it's kind of basic, but there's a couple things in it that are really smart. So how to start a conversation. Some of you were in sales, and so like you could have written this. But for some of the others of us, we sometimes struggle, but it's for all of us a good reminder. So, hi, my name is, what's your name? Here's my little side part on this. If I write somebody's name down, I might remember it. But if I don't write it down, I'm the only person in the room with that problem. No? Okay. Where do you live? Which is a good conversation starter sometimes, right? This one is so smart. Tell me about your family. Because if you say, are you married? The answer might be, right? I'm widowed, or I'm divorced, or I'm living with someone, or, you know. So just tell me about your family is so much better. How do you spend your time? And I find that if you listen, you start by listening, you find out what somebody's hobby is, or what they did for a living, whatever. It just is going to help you in the conversation. And then the last one is genius. Not just how can I pray for you, but how can I best pray for you? Because then they might actually tell you about something that's really serious in their life that is going on, right? And then if it seems appropriate, and if some of you are going to be uncomfortable with this, but if it seems appropriate, always ask first, but can I just pray with you right now? And, you know, for somebody who's unchurched, they're going to be like, wah! But, you know, if you ask and if you're cool about it and you keep it brief, you know, smack them on the forehead. how can I best pray for you? Like, say somebody said, could you pray for my daughter? She's making some bad choices. You say, can I just pray for you and for her right now? And just like, Lord, be with Donna. She's concerned about her daughter. Help her daughter to make good choices. Help her know how to be an encouragement. Thank you for loving us. Amen. That's simple. And you're like, I don't think I could do that. I would disagree. I think you can do that. Maybe start with somebody that you know well, right? And again, you always ask for permission. Keep it brief, but when it's appropriate, that can be very special, right? There's one of our church family this last week that had some pretty serious testing about a physical condition, and I noticed that she hardly made it out of her pew. Then some of our friends gathered around and were praying for her. Is that lovely? It's lovely. So you can do it. I know you can. So take that. And just have it as a reminder that we can be gracious. We can have grace-filled conversations. Pray. Pray in the morning. Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Pray that when a door of opportunity opens for you, you can present the good news of Jesus with clarity. And again, part of this clarity comes from listening. Here's the second thing Paul tells us. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Be wise. Outsiders is not a negative term. An outsider is simply someone who is not following Jesus. Be wise as others watch you and listen to you. Remember, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Our actions and words can either draw someone closer to God or drive them away. But here's what we know. Our Father loves them and wants them to be part of this ever-growing family. Make the most of every opportunity. Here is a chance to demonstrate the love of God. Here is a chance to show wisdom. Here is a chance to show that you are a person of hope, no matter what happens. Now, this doesn't mean that we always come across like we have our act together or like we are always happy. I think sometimes people find our struggles more accessible than our victories. Paul says, let your conversations be always full of grace. Always. Let me ask you an annoying question. Are you full of grace? In your own relationship with God, are you full of grace? Is your experience of God's grace growing deeper every day? Have you tasted the grace that draws us to God? Have you been reconciled with God? Have you been forgiven because of what Christ has done? Does the grace of God take your breath away? Do you experience God's healing grace in your lives and in your relationships? Do you count on God's sustaining grace every day? Here's what I think. It's hard, maybe it's impossible, to have a grace-filled conversation if you are not a grace-filled person. Do you agree? But if we're full of God's grace, there's enough not only for ourselves, but it's going to spill out on other people. What did Jesus say? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, here's maybe a place for us to begin. If you are not a grace-filled person, you can be, right? You can experience God's healing and forgiving grace in your life. What does a full of grace conversation look like? Ask questions that open doors. When speaking of others, be gracious. Own your own struggles and questions. Be honest, and when you don't know something, admit it. Don't gossip. How can others feel safe with us if we gossip? They know they're going to walk away and you'll probably be talking about them in 5 minutes. Don't gossip. And without being a know-it-all, share things that are uplifting. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt. That's what Paul says to us next. Seasoned with salt. Have you ever been outside and really hungry and eating something salty? You ever? No, you've never done that? Wes has, and I have. You guys? My dad had taken us to a steam show where they have all steam engines, and we got an early start, and they were selling cheap hot dogs, right? So my dad bought me a hot dog, and I still remember, this is years, over 50 years ago, I still remember biting into that hot dog. I was hungry. I'd been outside. I bit into that hot dog, and I was like, oh, this is really good, and I wanted more. Wouldn't it be great if whenever people talk to us, they have that same experience, like, that was a nice conversation. I'd like to talk to that person again. More. It's seasoned with salt. It leaves you asking for more. What if people wanted to talk to us because we're so nice and so doggone interesting? I mean it. Yeah. Part of why I read voraciously and part of why I read the Wall Street Journal every day is because I want to be an interesting conversationalist because you know what? I have a ministry of reconciliation. And you know what? You do too. You know what's interesting? Dialogue. Civil discourse. Give and take. Having nuanced conversations instead of talking like a bumper sticker. Real conversations between civilized neighbors goes deeper than a bumper sticker. We actually listen to people. We listen to people who disagree with us. We might even learn something. Well, that's a good point. That's something I haven't considered. Wouldn't it be great if after talking to somebody and they knew that we're a Jesus person, wouldn't it be great if they said, well, you aren't what I expected at all? Wouldn't that be great? You're actually fun. Who knew? Be an interesting conversationalist. Read and learn. Listen to someone who has a different perspective. Let your conversation always be seasoned with salt. And here's the final phrase, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So when we get it right, when we really care about people, when we respond in gracious ways, when we live an interesting and winsome life, people will ask us questions. Like, what makes you so upbeat, so optimistic? What do you think about this? And our goal is not to be the smartest kid in the room. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about drawing people to Jesus who has changed our lives in such wonderful ways. We want them to experience the hope, healing, and grace that we experience every day. For further study, if you sometimes find it difficult to talk about spiritual things, there's a wonderful book called The Reason for God by Tim Keller. The Reason for God by Tim Keller. It's on the reverse side of your outline in case you're interested. He just has this wonderful conversation style that is not confrontational, but is engaging and dialogical. And I've read it a couple of times. I used it to teach a course on apologetics in Haiti. It's a wonderful book, The Reason for God by Tim Keller. So those of you who are regulars here at Bayview Chapel know that every time we hear the Word of God proclaimed, we always take a moment to ask ourselves a question: what am I going to do with what I've heard today? How am I going to respond? Because the power of God's Word to change our lives doesn't come just by listening. It comes when we respond, when we change something, when we do something with what we've heard. So we're going to have our response time in just a moment, but let me ask you some questions. Do you accept your ministry of reconciliation? If you love and follow Jesus, this is something that God has for you. Are you prayed up? Are you asking for and looking for opportunities to have engaging conversations with other people? Are you wise in the way you act toward outsiders? Do they find your life interesting? Are you winsome? And is your conversation full of grace? Are you an engaging and safe person to know and talk to? So how are you going to respond to what you've heard today? Father, we are humbled by the fact that you have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are making this appeal on your behalf: be reconciled to God. Forgive us for times when we've not done very well with our ministry of reconciliation. Will you fill us with your grace, so that we can be gracious people and learn how to have grace-filled conversations, so that the love you have for us will spill over on those around us, because the people that we live with in our families and communities need your grace, just like we do. We want them to experience your love. We want our conversations to leave them closer to you, not farther away. So shape us, remake us, and use us to bring people to yourself, to bring healing between people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.